Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wine Time with your host, January Jones. It's time to stop whining and start winning. Listen up. January is here to help you. Now, your host, January Jones.
Tell me, are you a wannabe woman golfer? Let me ask you, what's keeping you from golfing? Does the guy in your life golf without you? Are you afraid of embarrassing yourself? Would you love to play couples golf? Do you think you're too old to learn how to golf? Would you like some tips on how to get started golfing right now? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then I would like to welcome you to Wine Time with January Jones. I'm your wine tester host, and I'm not talking about the wine you drink, but rather the wine you do. As your winologist expert, I'm inviting you to enjoy our show today with my guest, Christina Ritchie, author of The Girls Encore Survival Guide to Golf, Tee to Green and In Between, and her new follow-up book, Reach Your Goals Survival Guide to Golf. Now we'll wind in with our first segment. Our topic today, how to be a woman golfer without whining. I will be discussing it with our guest, Christina. Hello, Christina, and welcome to the show.
Hello, January. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, and I've been looking forward to this interview ever since I met you in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show last January.
Thank you.
And before we go on, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Christina is a Boston University graduate, raised in Boston, and has a handicap of 5.3, which puts her in the top percentile of excellent golfers in this country. Christina resides now between Boston and Miami, and she won the Florida State Amateur Championship Handicap Flight four-day match event. What an accomplishment. Christina was not a writer by trade, but she was inspired by her mom. Her mom, like myself, struggled with the game, so Christina has created a hip fun book that will help women get the ball airborne and shoot some decent scores. As my listeners know, I will be playing in the World Series of Golf within 2 weeks in Las Vegas at the Paiute Golf Resort. And if anyone ever needed golf guidance, it's me right now. Now, Christina, before we begin, could you tell us briefly in your own words, how did your golf journey begin? Where does your story start?
Well, my story starts with my mother's perpetual fiancé, Richard.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's been playing golf for 30 years, and he always wanted a golfing family. And my mother was into tennis, and I was into bike riding, weightlifting, yoga, you know, all that.
Uh-huh.
Played sports growing up. I was captain of the tennis team, field hockey, softball.
Okay.
I was definitely athletic growing up. And he booked us some lessons, a series of five.
Uh-huh.
He came down for a visit in Florida, and I was immediately hooked.
Okay.
My mother's like, I'm not old enough for this game. It's too slow. She didn't have the patience. So she put it on the back burner. But I went just full steam ahead, basically played every day.
Wow.
To the point where my work suffered. You know, it just kind of overtook me, and I just took a lot of lessons. I was at the range every day,
uh-huh,
playing 18 holes at least five times a week.
Okay.
I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the challenge. I enjoyed the athleticism of it. I enjoyed the mental toughness that was required with golf. I just enjoyed every aspect.
Wow,
that's what happened.
You really became quite an addict quite quickly, didn't you?
Yes, almost immediately, which is shocking. You know? But I guess when you hit that first ball and it's pure,
yes,
you're either hooked or you're just not into it. But I was hooked.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions I always ask my golf guest. What does golf mean to you? And I'm not talking about just hitting the ball and putting it in the hole and getting the score. Beyond that, what is that elusive something that captures the hearts and sometimes the soul of those who participate? What do you think it is?
For me?
Yes.
it's the challenge of, I'm a perfectionist, and I know, now I know, I actually didn't know then, that you can't perfect this game. You know, and there's always room for improvement. You can always get better. And I love golf because it's so nature-driven. You know, I love being out in the afternoon watching the birds and, you know, corny as it sounds, you know, watching the bees and smelling the flowers. I mean, I just absolutely love being out in nature. And golf, you can do it anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's great to share with a partner.
Oh, yeah.
Travel the world and play golf. I mean, what, I can't imagine doing anything better. You know, so golf to me is a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. That's
part
a very...
of my lifestyle now. I can't imagine life without golf, and it's a sport. It's a game, and I know it's a game, but it's part of my life.
It's gotten into your DNA.
It has. I wish I got into. I got into it when I was 30.
Uh-huh.
I really wish I got into it when I was 2.
Well, you know, I'm like your mom. I was a tennis player, and we grew up in an era where tennis was, you know, the thing to do. And so my generation has come to golf a little later in life. And that's why your book is so wonderful, because I'm here to tell my listeners that doing it properly, guess what? You can improve even at an older age when you start this game.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And the one thing I like about my book is it's really motivating women.
Yes.
You know, I get emails all the time. Thank you so much for providing us hope. You know, I didn't. You got to a 5 handicap in 5 years, and you started the game at 30. I know I can do it.
Yes,
so
yes.
That's what's really hitting home for me, and making it really rewarding that I produced this book that's helping so many women feel that they can do it too.
Well, it's a wonderful book, and you know, I'm in my 60s, and I'm now going to be playing in the World Series of Golf, and because of this commitment, I'm representing all of the chronologically challenged competitors in the world, and I started taking lessons every week, and my gosh, what a difference it's made. I'm really getting better.
I am a strong advocate. If you want to get better at golf, book lessons.
Yes.
Find a pro that is suited to your game. You know, don't find a pro that specifically works with juniors.
Yeah, right.
Find a pro that you like. And I think a good way to do that, if you want to just kind of test the waters, is to get involved with ladies' clinics, get involved with, you know, a lot of clubs have clinics for ladies, and that's a good way to test out the pro to see if there's a fit.
Oh, that's a good suggestion, because if you talk to other women, you'll, you know, absolutely, because someone who's coaching juniors certainly isn't going to want to deal with an older golfer, and you need that special consideration and help so you don't get discouraged.
Exactly, and I think the clinics are fun because you get to meet other women, which is kind of moves me into my next topic, which is join, like the EWGA, join golfers' associations, you know, and it's get social. Get out there and play golf, because you meet great women and you improve your game in the meantime.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have someone to play with who's at your level.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, as I said in my opening, they're worried about being embarrassed.
Right.
And I think it does help if you can start with other women who are starting with you, and then you can go out and play nine and have lunch and make it a social event.
Exactly.
Now, does your mom play a lot now? Is she addicted too?
Oh, it's crazy. Oh. Well, 3 years had passed, and she was so tired of hearing Richard and I talk about golf. She's like, enough already. So she said, if you can't beat him, join him. So she said, I'm going to give it another shot. She went to the range. She got hooked. She plays 120 rounds a summer. She lives in the Boston area, so she only has from May until, you know, September, October. She plays four or five times a week.
Oh wow, yeah, she's got it too. Yeah, I'm at that stage too. I'm playing a lot. How long did it take you to write this book? I mean, when did you start thinking about doing the book? After you had become a 5 handicap, or was it a part of the process?
It was in the back of my mind as I was actually learning the game, and I was ready to throw my clubs in the water because it was so frustrating. You know, learning this game is so frustrating, and some days you think you got it, and the next day you think. You know, so you can't get the ball airborne. And you're wondering why I was hitting the ball so great yesterday and today I can't even hit the ball.
Uh-huh.
So I was always thinking in the back of my mind, remember this. Remember it. Remember how tough it is, because when you do get better, you know, maybe you can help people in some way. I had no idea how, but it was very like a thought.
Yeah.
So then when I did get to a five and I was realized that all I was doing was playing golf, I said, I have to do something with golf because, you know, it's what I love and my background is design.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I'm going to create a book.
Uh-huh. And you discovered your passion and combined it with work and play.
Exactly.
That's the perfect solution.
It is. I did a year to do the book.
Right. I did an interview last week with Tim Galway, and he wrote years ago The Inner Game of Tennis.
Great book.
And wonderful book. And now he's come out with The Inner Game of Golf, because he's from my generation who has switched from tennis to golf. And tell us your thoughts about the inner and outer game. Just you were describing a little bit of your feelings about that.
The golf game is 90% mental and 10% mental. That's my philosophy at this point. You know, once you have the mechanics and, you know, you have a decent swing, all about the 6 inches between your ears. And that's what separates golfers and not so good golfers. You know, they you know what they do? They whine.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, the golf, it gets, listen to a few people on the golf course and all you hear is whining. I can't putt, I stink, oh, woe is me, you know. It's, you have to be positive.
Yeah,
not get angry.
I've noticed that. It seems like someone will go out and, in my opinion, I think they've played a pretty good round, and all they want to talk about is the shot they missed or the putt they missed.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of whining, isn't there?
And it really affects your score.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of, one of the biggest things that affects poor scoring is thinking about the score when you're playing.
Oh, okay.
Thinking like, oh, I'm going to shoot 80 today, you know, and you're thinking about the outcome, so you're not focused on the shot at hand.
Right,
people
right.
Do not stay in the moment when they're hitting a shot. They are elsewhere. So they wonder why they mishit it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all the 6 inches between your ear. That's focus.
Uh-huh.
You gotta learn how to focus, and that's part of my new book, you know, how to reach your goals realistically.
Right, yeah.
You know, really assess where you are right now. You know, what are your practice habits, and you know, how many times a month do you take a lesson? Really assess what's going on.
Right.
You know, how many shots does it take you before you lose confidence?
Right.
Does it take one shot, or does it take 10?
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about that, because so many people get discouraged and they don't realize that they've got to use all the positive energy they have to conquer this game. And when we come back, Christina will give us some more suggestions on how to do that. This is January Jones, Wine Time.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
January Jones is the wine tester and the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, which has reached a number one ranking at Amazon.com and was also voted the number one book to be given anonymously. It's available in most bookstores. It deals with the whining epidemic taking place all around us with humor and hope. If you know anyone who whines, the 11th Commandment is the perfect gift to give or get.
Thou Shalt Not Whine.
Plan to visit January's online Wine Time store, where you can purchase her book, the Smiley Wine Pins, tote bag, and t-shirts. Go to www.januaryjones.com.
If you can't put down a good mystery novel, you'll want to check out Mystery Matters with Fran Stewart. Each week, you'll hear from the top mystery writers of our time. From suspense thrillers to forensics, you'll explore all of the categories that make a great mystery work. Not only will we discuss the secrets of a story, but we'll go behind the novel to sort out all of the pieces of the puzzle. Broadcast live each Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America. Mystery Matters.
Where murder is an open book.
Listening to Wine Time with January Jones. Do you have a question, comment, or complaint?
There are no complaints.
Call January now at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to info@januaryjones.com. Now back to Wine Time. Here's January Jones.
Welcome back to Wine Time with January Jones. And it's time to wine up, featuring Christina Ritchie, author of A Girl's Encore Survival Guide to Golf. Christina, before we left off, we were talking about being positive and that 6 inches in your brain, the in between your head, and conquering that. Could you give us some more thoughts on that?
Well, I think one of the number one reasons why people don't reach their goals in their golfing journey, you know, if they want to break 90, or they want to break 80, or they want to break 100, is they let, you know, bad shots affect their game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most important thing in golf is positive thinking and smiling. Even if you hit a bad shot, smile, laugh. That's the one thing I really admire about my mother. Because when she hits a bad shot, she laughs. You know, when I hit a bad shot, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, because I'm a perfectionist, like, what do? I start thinking mechanical thoughts, like, how do I fix it? How do I fix it? You know, and that's something I'm still working on.
Right.
Well, I have a way to go with my 6 inches.
Well, you know, I think your mom and I are probably at an advantage because the older you get, I think the easier it is to let go of the perfectionism and try to live in the moment.
Yes. That is something I am working on every day. So I do admire that very much. And my suggestion for women is just go out and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're not doing this for a living.
Right.
But don't worry about being embarrassed. Just play your best and have fun. Because you know what? At the end of the day, when you leave the course, your friends are going to say, wow, she was so much fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're out there getting angry and banging your clubs and just doing woe is me, they're going to be like, that's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember what you shot.
Right,
they're gonna
right.
They're going to remember your attitude. They're going to remember how much fun they had with you or how much they didn't.
Yes, and, you know, I think for women who are reluctant to get into golfing, I can honestly tell you that the older you get, if you have the opportunity to do it as a couple, and when you go on vacations, you'll go to golf courses, and it's amazing. They'll always pair you up with another couple, and guess what? They'll be wonderful because, in my opinion, any man who goes out to golf with a woman is a wonderful guy, and he's so happy to see you out there that he's not going to be critical.
Absolutely. He just wants to spend time with you.
Yes, yeah, and you meet such nice, nice people. Tell us a little bit. I went to your website, and I was just very, very impressed, and what a wonderful opportunity. It was golfsurvivalguide.com. And you can sign up for a Tee to Green online membership. Could you tell us what that would include for my listeners?
Well, the Tee to Green online membership is basically the companion to the book.
Uh-huh.
It really is just a plethora of videos, you know, online videos. All the lessons from the book are on the site, plus a whole lot more. So women, and actually, there's not just golf, there's fitness. I have a really large fitness section. Because I strongly believe that if you do want to improve, that you need to, you know, work on golf-specific exercises and basically get in shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because golf is very demanding athletically. You think it's not, but it is. So I'm a strong advocate for that. So Tee to Green is basically is compiled of instruction, video instruction, and fitness instruction.
Right. There's over 150 golf and fitness videos, and I'm just amazed at seeing is believing, because when you can watch these videos and see how it's done, it's so much easier than just listening to it and trying to imagine it. They're just a wonderful site. How long did it take you to get this site up and running? 150 videos. You must have been doing that day and night.
Well, actually, what happened was I spent a year putting together the Secret Weapon DVD series,
okay,
which is a four-set DVD series.
Okay.
So those videos are on the DVDs as well.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that happened. I created the DVDs and then posted all those videos online.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I wanted to give women the opportunity to, whether they wanted to watch it on their TV, on their computer,
mm-hmm,
or when they're on the course with a book, it all complements each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if they're watching the video and then they go on the course and they reference page 33 and it talks about alignment, you know, they remember watching the video and they pick it up quicker when they see the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's basically it all works together. It all ties in.
Oh, yeah. It's just a wonderful presentation, and photography is fabulous. When we get into talking in your book, you deal with the fundamentals, and you start right from day one and talking about the grip and posture and stance. And now, when you started, did you have a pro, or how did you?
Oh, yes. I was so into pros. I would take so many lessons, you know, because I knew that they would help me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I took a lot of lessons, and I just could not never have gotten to a five without them.
Okay, and then you suggest using several pros just to get different opinions and different approaches.
No.
That's
not for everybody.
Okay.
You know, I was able to do that, you know. But I suggest finding one that you really like, and stay with that pro, you know, for a while until you feel like you're not learning anything. But I just don't think that'll happen. But
yeah,
I like the one pro,
yeah,
for most people, because
yeah,
you get confused. You know, most of the pros are saying the same thing, but they say it in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will get confused.
Mm-hmm.
I am very analytical, and I'm like I have this thirst for knowledge. So I would take the information. In the beginning, it was a little confusing for me, but as I got better and I understood the game more, it was great for me.
Now, for the pre-tee-off, how important do you feel is stretching and getting physically ready to play?
I see so many players,
uh-huh,
head to the range,
yeah,
take out their driver, and, like, hit five balls as fast as they can, and then they run to the tee. So can you imagine what that first tee shot's going to be like? That,
yeah,
thing is going in the woods. You know, people do not prepare for a round. You,
yeah,
know, they get there late,
uh-huh,
you know, and then they rush to the tee. My mother's a perfect example. She does not warm up, you know, and she's all right with it. She's all right with it.
Well, you know, she and I are from that instant gratification generation.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's still, you know, the game of golf has taught her patience. She just had none, and she has so much more now.
It does.
She still doesn't warm up.
It does do that. Now, when you get to the tee box, could you tell me briefly what is your pre-shot routine? What do you do before you get ready to tee off?
Well, I first figure out where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
I immediately zone in on my target.
Okay.
And basically from there, I have the same routine for every shot.
Oh, okay. Exactly.
Every shot, not just the tee box.
Uh-huh.
It's so important to have a pre-shot routine because it gets you in the frame of mind of where is this ball going, what is my target,
mm-hmm,
not, oh, I got to remember to make a full backswing. Oh, I got to remember to,
mm-hmm,
to, you know, initiate with the downswing with my legs. You know, I don't have all these mechanical thoughts I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, what is my target? And I step into the ball with my right foot, aim the club face first to my intermediate target, which is basically like 2 inches in front of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That intermediate target is pointed to the main target 220, 30 yards down the fairway.
Right, right.
Then I step in with my left foot and make sure that my shoulders are square and take a look at my target one more time, and I rip it.
Let it go. Now, see, by having that pre-shot routine, it actually almost puts you on autopilot, and you don't have to be thinking so much.
Exactly. That's the main. That's why pros, you never see a pro without a pre-shot routine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything from, and the pre-shot routine starts before they even take the club out of the bag.
Oh, really?
Watch pros. Watch them.
Uh-huh.
See that their pre-shot routine. Annika used to, would not take her driver out of the bag. Her pre-shot routine started by her taking the driver out of the bag.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So it actually starts well before, and that's why it is so important, and this is etiquette.
Uh-huh.
Do not yip-yap when someone is ready to take a shot. You know, people are talking and talking, and then they stop when, just when they're hitting it.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's well before that.
Okay, yip-yap. That's a really good tip, because that would probably annoy a very serious golfer.
Yes, and it's just good practice not to, because especially if you're out golfing with in business, you know, if you're a corporate woman,
yes,
you're out with clients, you know, you're going to be real careful with etiquette, which is why, you know, I put rules and etiquette in the book.
I'm so glad you did, because that is such a big part of the game, and so many people aren't aware of what the proper etiquette is. When I started training for this World Series of Golf, it was interesting. It seemed to me like all we ever worked on was chipping and putting. Chip, putt, chip, putt. Very seldom were we out hitting the long ball. And now I'm finding out that's really, the chip and putt is very important, isn't it?
It's where most of your shots are. It's where most people lose their shots.
Right.
They get to 75 yards and they either scull it over the green into the back bunker or they chunky monkey it.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't spend enough time around the green.
Right.
You know, and actually in this Reach Your Goals, I focus a section on wedges, you know,
uh-huh.
how to improve your wedge game, because the wedge game, you know, like 75 yards and in is like a mini swing.
Yeah.
And it really requires good impact and uh-huh. consistency. You know, there's little room for error. So if you work on your wedge game, you're actually improving your long game at the same time.
And, you know, that was the most amazing thing to me because that's all we seem to do the first couple of months is work on this wedge game, and then it transfers to the rest of your game without you even realizing.
Exactly, because you get in the right positions.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you do it slower, you know, people try to learn and they're swinging, you know, crazy fast
uh-huh.
with the long game, you know, just beating ball after ball in the range, you know, thinking quantity is better than quality, and they don't realize that's just not the case. And you practicing chipping and putting was the best thing you could do, because if you can get up and down from anywhere, you're going to score well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the key. You have to get up and down from anywhere.
Right.
You know, that's our goal here.
Well, that's that, you know, famous saying, drive for show and putt for dough.
That's right.
Yeah, and that is so very, very true. Now, often, sometimes it's, I know we're supposed to be positive and smiling, but what do you tell people when they hit a bad shot? I mean, it's devastating. What's a quick fix, or how do you get over it? How can you get past it?
Start thinking about the next shot.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. What's next? What's my next shot? What do I need to focus on? Where am I going? That is the best way to get over that last shot.
Okay. Just
don't go back. Just move forward, because you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. It's done. You know, and if you are hitting bad shot after bad shot, because I know it's easy if you hit one bad shot, but if the whole day is just like everything's like warm burning, you know, get the ball airborne, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's going to be better.
And that's fun, too, because when I was at the PGA show, I had a chance to talk to so many of the professional women golfers, and that's exactly what they said. They said, you're in the moment, and just keep going forward and try to stay positive. When we come back after this break with Christina Ritchie, we'll discover some more tips for the Girls Encore Survival Guide to Golf on Wine Time with January Jones.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swoosh has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
January Jones is the wine tester and the author of Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, which has reached a number one ranking at Amazon.com and was also voted the number one book to be given anonymously. It's available in most bookstores. It deals with the whining epidemic taking place all around us with humor and hope. If you know anyone who whines, the 11th Commandment is the perfect gift to give or get.
Thou Shalt Not Wine.
Plan to visit January's online Wine Time store where you can purchase her book, the Smiley Wine Pins, tote bag, and t-shirts. Go to www.januaryjones.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you lack energy and enthusiasm? Do you really want to change your thoughts and feelings? Can you really stay sane when your life isn't? Of course you can, just by listening to Stay Sane Now each week with Claudine Struck and co-host Wesley Stoller. You'll have fun and learn how to make each new day the best day of your life. Every show is designed to energize and get you started off on the next week. Stay Sane Now is broadcast live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on 7th Wave Network. You're listening to Wine Time with January Jones. Do you have a question, comment, or complaint?
There are no complaints.
Call January now at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to info@januaryjones.com. Now back to Wine Time. Here's January Jones.
Welcome back to Wine Down Time with our guest, Christina Ritchie, who will be sharing with us her new book that she has just written. And could you tell us a little bit about it, Christina? I'm so excited to hear about it.
Well, the book is called Reach Your Goals Survival Guide. It's the follow-up book to A Girl's Encore Survival Guide to Golf.
Okay.
And it's designed to help women learn how to realistically reach their goals and become a better golfer this season. The guide can be used on and off the course. It's full color. And it's jam-packed. It has game evaluations, instructional lessons, worksheets like how to track your stats.
Oh.
It has expert advice from pros. And it also will have a companion website.
Oh, marvelous. That's
so it's like a hands-on tool for women to learn how to really assess where their game is at and what they need to do in terms of practice, drills, instruction on how to get their game better. Like if they want to lower their handicap by 2 strokes, you know, is that realistic? Or if they want to drop their handicap by 5 strokes, is that realistic?
Yeah.
So this is basically will help them find the answer to that question and then get them there.
Okay, so this gives them a definite game plan and a way of making it happen, and it's a realistic approach.
Exactly, because when I started, I was an 18. No, when I dropped to an 18, you know, this was after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to get to scratch this summer.
Oh,
my
wow.
Pro. And he laughed. He said, you got to be kidding. I'm like, yeah, why? Why can't I? He's like, that's just not realistic. So I had to reassess my goals.
Okay. And then how long did
it look at how many fairways was I hitting, how many greens in regulation, how many putts, you know, how many up and downs. And the numbers were too high. There was no way I was going to get to a scratch.
Okay.
Not even close. And even if my numbers were good, it's just not a realistic goal. So, you know, those are the kind of questions you need to ask, and you really need to see the numbers.
Uh-huh.
You know, how many fairways am I hitting? How many greens am I hitting? You know, how many up and downs? How many putts?
Uh-huh.
You know, how many sand saves? That sort of thing. How is my course management? What do I think about when I'm on the course? What do I think about my approach shot? Do I think about maybe I want to lay it up to 100 yards instead of going for it with a 3-wood,
mm-hmm.
you know, and end up in the water or the
mm-hmm.
big bunker? You know,
yeah.
Those are the kind of things that this book focuses on. So it's a nice complement with the first book.
Right. Well, the first book takes in the fundamentals, but
yes.
Then I think you're now moving to a level where we're talking about course management.
Yes, course management, there'll be a lot of instruction, though, you know, the things that are not covered in the first book.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, again, the first book was, again, a lot of the basic setups for all the shots, you know, from everywhere, tee to green.
The first book is a fabulous book to start with, and then the second book, you're taking it to a different level. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think so many young people now are attracted to golf. It seems to be such a hip game. Everyone wants to do it. Why do you think that is?
Because of look who's playing.
Ah, uh-huh.
I mean, look at the girls. They're hip and cool. Look at the guys. I mean, they're hot.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the young guys coming in. Look at that Camellia, you know, and Tiger. I mean, obviously, and Paula Kramer and, you know, all the LPGA is just catapulted into, you know, hipness.
Yeah, they really have.
Fun they're to watch. Like, I love watching it.
Yeah, they're like what the tennis players used to be. Everyone's into it and following them. Tiger has been quite an amazing, had impact on the game. When you look at all the mentors of the game, who stands out in your mind when you look at?
Well, you mean someone I...
For who do you admire as women golfers?
Annika. Yeah, Annika.
Annika. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I really love Lorena's game. I love Paula's game, you know. There's so many other players that I love. You know, I've actually met Christina Kim. I love her personality.
Okay.
Met her at the PGA show 2 years ago, and she saw my book, and she's like, you know, even the pros forget the fundamentals.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So she was just great.
Wonderful. What's your take on all this reality television? Now, all of a sudden, we see Charles
Barkley. I know. I think it's fun, you know. I think it's fun.
I think that it's reality television is a fact of life lately because there's so much of it's on, and I've been a big fan of the Big Break.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just got addicted to that. It's definitely something we TiVo, and it's I think you can really relate to those players.
Absolutely. Actually, Susan Choi is in my next issue of Tee to Green, which is a publication that comes out 3 times a year.
Uh-huh.
And this issue, which is the spring-summer issue, is just came back from the printer, picked them up. They look great, and the focus is Reach Your Goals. So if people want to sign up for the newsletter, they can receive it online or as a printed, and they can go to golfsurvivalguide.com to sign up.
Right. So, I just did an interview with Susan Choi on Wine Time a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually going to replay again on May 28th. And what a delightful young lady she is. And I met her at the PGA show when I met you. And what a quest she's off on. She's on the Futures Tour, and she was very interesting. I can't wait to read your interview with her.
Yes, actually, it's not an interview. It's more she's offering tips on how to reach your goals, and she will be participating in the book as well.
Really?
All of her amazing advice in the publication in Tee to Green.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to put her in the Reach Your Goals because her advice is spot on.
Right, and she was interesting because she talked about competing as a young girl against male golfers, and she shared with us the competitive pressures that are put on a golfer that's trying to make it in the professional golf world.
Oh, I don't envy them. You
know,
when I first started at 30, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the LPGA. You know, I had all these aspirations, and I'm like, yeah, right. Now if I qualify for the U.S. Open, I'm happy.
Oh, wow.
That would be good.
Yeah. Well, you know, the game, there's quite a bit of, there's so many mental factors that go with the game, and the lure of the game, I think, is seductive, especially to someone's ego if you happen to have a little talent for it.
It empowers you.
That's
what I find golf does. If you are happy with your game, it empowers you. I don't know why, but it's just because I guess it's an all-around physical and emotional pursuit.
Right. The thing that I noticed about it, it's one of the few games that women can come to and they can play equally with men due to the handicap system. Isn't that marvelous?
It is. It is. It's a fair game.
It's fair, yeah. And I think if more women realized it, they'd be quicker to take it up because with the handicap system, you can be in your 20s and play with a scratch golfer, and it works out that you're not holding them back. It's wonderful as far as equalizing people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But the main, I would say the number one issue that separates, not issue, but element that people should be aware of is the etiquette part. You know the rules, know the etiquette, know that you're not supposed to drive your cart around the green. Mark your ball properly, mark your ball, even if it's not in the player's way because it's distracting. I mean, little things like that are so important that people don't pay enough attention to. And they wonder why, guys are great, but sometimes they can be a little condescending. So, you just take that extra step to make sure you know the rules and the etiquette.
Oh, yeah, that's such a common courtesy. And, there are so many rules, I think, that should be included in every clinic or any playing lesson so that people will get the hint and be polite. There's nothing more aggravating than someone talking when you're swinging or standing in the getting in the way of your lie of your ball.
Right. And it's fine. They're not aware of it. So, but just, we're trying to educate them to say, hey, be aware of it.
And my thought, one of the things I love about the game is that the off the board random sheer luck that can happen.
I know. Like the hole in ones.
Yeah.
And the Eagles.
Yeah. Now, how many hole-in-ones have you had?
I have had two on the same hole.
You're kidding.
No. And no one was witnessing. Actually, one person witnessed on one of them.
Uh-huh.
But it was a par three.
Uh-huh.
It was a 9-iron, to like 120 yards, and I got in the hole.
Oh, my gosh, and no one saw it.
One person saw it on the first time, but the second one no one did. So I'm like,
oh, gosh. Well, see, that's what I love about this game, because I even had a hole-in-one, and I've got a 21 handicap, and it happened in a tournament. And
wow. Now,
yeah,
that's exciting.
I actually won $30.
Nice. Did you have to pay for everyone's drink afterwards?
Yeah, the bar bill was over $300.
Wow. So I guess I'm lucky no one saw it.
When we come back, we'll share more with Christina Ritchie about the wide, wonderful world of golf. And she is so encouraging. So if you're listening and on the fence, I want you to think seriously about taking up golf. It's a great game for all ages. We'll be right back with Wine Time with January Jones.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your 6-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
January Jones is the wine tester and the author of Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, which has reached a number one ranking at Amazon.com and was also voted the number one book to be given anonymously. It's available in most bookstores. It deals with the whining epidemic taking place all around us with humor and hope. If you know anyone who whines, the 11th Commandment is the perfect gift to give or get.
Thou Shalt Not Wine.
Plan to visit January's online Wine Time store where you can purchase her book, the Smiley Wine Pins, tote bag, and t-shirts. Go to www.januaryjones.com.
Are you looking for more than just pop culture astrology? Do you have questions about astrology and what it's all about? Join us every week for Sirius Star Talk, an inside look at the field of astrology and how it influences our world. Host Norma Jean Rehm wants to create a voice for intelligent astrology. We'll explore current events through the lens of astrology with some of today's most knowledgeable astrologers. You'll get great information about politics, economics, business, and social trends. Sirius Star Talk can be heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network. Listen to The Intelligent Side of Astrology.
You're listening to Wine Time with January Jones. Do you have a question, comment, or complaint?
There are no complaints.
Call January now at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to info@januaryjones.com. Now back to Wine Time. Here's January Jones.
Welcome back to our final segment, and we'll give a great big wine out to all our listeners with our show featuring Christina Ritchie, author of A Girl's Encore Survival Guide to Golf, Tee to Green and In Between. I want your feedback and interactions. Don't hesitate to email me at info@januaryjones.com with your ideas, questions, and be sure to let me know what you want to hear about on our show. Go to my website, januaryjones.com, and sign up for my weekly e-zine full of information about future shows and guests. And please don't hesitate to make comments on my blog. And be sure to buy my book, Thou Shalt Not Wine, The 11th Commandment, at Amazon. It was voted the number one best book to give in anonymously. It's a perfect gift to give or get. Now, Christina, I know that you are a smiley and you're never a whiny, but tell me, what do you whine about when you're playing golf?
I whine. You know what really upsets me?
What?
When I three-putt.
A three-putt. Oh, okay, yeah.
To me, you know what? And double, I'm sorry, but double bogeys.
Oh, double bogeys. Yeah,
that don't work for me either.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
What do you do when you get in a sand? What you call it a sandwich, a no sandwich.
Yeah. It's a sand wedge, not a sandwich.
Witch, okay.
What do? I assess the situation, and the number one thing in the sand trap that I realized not too long ago, actually, is you really have to have a tension-free swing.
Okay.
If you have any tension in your shoulders, hands, or arms, then you will not execute the shot as well.
Right.
You know, when I started to really loosen my grip, especially on the downswing especially, really just kind of let the club do its job.
Right.
It was great.
And, you know, I think so many women, especially when they get in the sand, they're kind of tentative and they're afraid to just swing through and let it happen.
Yes, they quit. They kind of decelerate, and the club kind of digs into the sand and stops.
Yeah, and your ball almost makes it, and then it rolls back, and then you're so upset on the second shot, my gosh, you get it right out of there.
You get it out of there, but sometimes they get it out of there too far.
Yeah.
You know, because they rush it, and they're so upset that they just kind of swing at it without regrouping,
yeah.
You know, making sure their setup is correct, you know, and that ever-important no tension, relaxing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you now about some tips on putting. I've become the national spokeswoman for Yard Golf, and they've created a GX1 putter, and it was originally done for adaptive golf for the veterans from Iraq, and now it's being used by women since it takes the ball out of the hole and you don't have to bend over.
All right.
Yeah, so it's got the answer for the chronologically challenged crowd. Putting, so important, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know what is really important about putting?
Mm-hmm.
Is a pre-putt routine.
A pre-putt, okay. What do you
mean? I go to the putting and I'm putting, working on my putting.
Uh-huh.
All I work on is my routine, making sure I do the same thing for every putt.
Okay.
That gets your mind off the mechanics, gets your mind off of, oh, my God, I got to make this putt, gets your mind focused on, I'm getting this putt in.
Yeah.
I visualize the ball actually dropping into the hole, and that's what I focus on.
Okay. That is really a good, strong tip. I'm going to use that because this tournament I'm playing in, the prize money is $300,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, and I'm a 21 handicap.
Wow. So I'm telling you, if you really focus on your putting,
you
know, you said that you work on your chipping and your putting. That's so great. Make sure that your putting routine, and that includes the tempo, how you stroke the ball, is the same for every putt.
Every putt, no matter the distance.
No matter the distance, and make sure you hold your finish.
Oh, yeah.
Your finish.
Hold the finish. That I need that advice.
Because if you do not, you actually are reroute. You're actually, the ball will go offline because you're actually it happens, like, before you hold your finish, it's when it's happening. Like, if you pick up your head or you pick up the putter too quickly, you're throwing the ball offline well before you even hit it.
Yeah, you know, I'm always trying to see where the ball's going.
Everybody does that. You know, not everybody, but a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
And you just basically, especially for the short ones, listen for the ball to drop.
Oh, gosh, yeah. The short ones, that's insane when you miss one of those.
And actually, there's a great drill in the new book, Reach Your Goals.
Uh-huh.
It's called the penny drill. You put a penny under the ball
and
then stroke the putt, and you see what is up, heads or tails.
Oh, my gosh.
So basically, I mean, you have to keep your head still while you're hitting the stroke, you're hitting the putt.
So you put the penny under the ball.
Yes, and then you stroke the putt and you see if it's heads or tails.
Okay.
You focus on keeping your head quiet.
That is a wonderful tip, the penny putt. I'm going
penny
to do
putt.
That.
Yes.
Now I want to ask you another thing. This is most golfers, and especially women, they have this fear of water.
Yes, I know. My mother will be on the tee box, and a 4x4 body of water will be well to her left, and she will somehow manage to get that ball in the water.
Is it because it's the last thing you think about, don't hit in the water?
Yes, your body doesn't register don't.
Okay, let's talk about that.
It only registers what you want to do.
Okay.
Never think about what you don't want to do, because that's where the ball is going.
Okay, so
the mind doesn't say, oh, she wants to go in the water. It doesn't register don't. It just registers water.
Okay, so that's why that always happens.
Yes, you cannot. That's why it's so important to think about the target. Where is it going? And that's it. Focus only on the target. I can't stress that enough.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm on the same page, because you're absolutely right. If I'm thinking about the water or out of bounds, or guess what? That's where I end up.
And it could be a little thought. It could be like just an inkling of a thought, and it maybe not go in the water, but it'll go close. You know, so it's really important to think about the target. And it makes the whole game easier, because you don't think about the trouble. You're like, what trouble?
Okay.
You know, you're aware of it when you're picking your target, but after that, it's like, I don't see any trouble. I only see my target.
Okay, that is very positive. I like that, and I like the penny tip that you gave me. And all the other thing that I love about your book is that when all else fails, you recommend that people laugh.
That's why I put in a joke section.
That's perfect. That's just perfect.
Because it just, you know, it takes all the golf woes away. It takes all the golf whining away.
Right.
You know, if you could just laugh and have fun with who you're with and, you know, and just enjoy the challenge. And if you're not playing well that day, you know what? So what?
So what?
Go to the range after, fix it. Book a lesson with your pro, you know, and fix it.
Right.
You know, don't try to fix it out in the course. I still have a tendency to do that, you know, trying to fix it out in the course. And it's just, just enjoy the day, you know, if you're not hitting the ball well.
I know, and that's the biggest tip that you can give anyone. And I love that when everyone say a day on the golf course, no matter how bad it is always better than a day at work.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the view, enjoy the scenery, and definitely no whining allowed, because when you're whining, that'll take your game down faster than anything. Let me ask you just one, when we were talking about rules and etiquette, if you had to give one big tip to women about their etiquette, what would it be? To keep their mouth shut, or what would you say?
Yes. I do.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, women love to, you know, chat. You know, they're fun. It's fun. It's great. Just don't do it when someone's, you know, getting ready to prepare to hit their shot.
Right, yeah.
That's all.
That's such a hard one, isn't it?
Well, you know, my mother, I love my mother, but, you know, she's really good with the etiquette, but sometimes I'll be hitting a shot, and she'll be talking when she's in the cart, so she thinks that you can't hear her, but you actually can. So even, and she's whispering. And all you hear is this, and you know, it's distracting. So, I mean, zip it. I don't mean whisper. I mean zip it, please. It's like 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. You nailed it, dear. You nailed it. We all think no one can hear us whispering. I love it.
It's true, but they can.
They sure can. I'm sorry today. That's all the time we have had. We've had just a wonderful interview. And, Christina, I have so many more questions to ask you. And you must come back and promise to help me critique my appearance in the World Series of Golf.
Absolutely. Whatever I can do to help.
Great. Thank you to my listeners for listening for Wine Time with January Jones. And I'll look forward to visiting with you next Thursday at 9 a.m. when my guest will be Sporty King. He is the author of How to Be Ugly. That's an acronym, Unique, Lovable, Gifted You. For now, this is January Jones signing off with cheers and chocolates. And for anyone in the crowd who feels chronologically challenged, this is the show for you. Remember, you heard it here, and be sure to tell your friends. Tune in, tune on, and tune up next week on Wine Time with your January Jones. It's your choice to be a smiley and not a whiny. Remember, stop whining, start smiling, and if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate, lots and lots of it. This is January Jones. Thank you to Christina. Signing off with cheers and chocolates until we can do this again next week. Take care. Stay safe until we meet again. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Wine Time with January Jones. Join us again next Thursday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America. Now, go out and have a winning week.